Hello, folks. You are listening to our podcast, Could Be Your Life. My name is Jeff.
I'm Caroline.
Uh-huh. That is correct. And we are in week 3/4 of Listener Request Month. It's been a fascinating journey.
Sure.
It has resulted in several poor quality episodes, including one that did not make it to air. But, you know, it's all good.
That's part of us as a show. We're very ramshackle.
Incompetence. That's a big part of our brand.
Yeah, we're like the Shags.
Yes. We are the podcast equivalent of the Shags.
Our father is making us do this because he went to a fortune teller.
Is that the reason that he had the Shags do that?
Yeah.
Wow. Fortune teller was like, your daughters are going to be the biggest band in the world or something like that?
Yeah.
And he was like, she's right.
Yeah, and he like took them out of school and made them practice every day. Yeah, their dad was a monster.
Yeah, I mean, the Shags was child abuse.
Yeah.
That's a good record, though.
I gotta admit.
I appreciate it, actually.
I do, too. I love that record.
And not for, like, you know, creepy, like...
Not, like, ironically. I think it's great.
Exactly. Speaking of incompetence, this is actually our second go at recording this episode.
Yep.
Boy, God is just laying the smackdown on us this month.
He doesn't want us to do this show.
Oh, or he doesn't want us to take your requests. That's the message I've been getting. Yeah. But yeah, we recorded this entire episode for Susie and the Banshees, and then it didn't record. So now we're doing it again. We're probably going to say some stuff that we said last time.
So try to act surprised.
Right. Well, you know, we're going to pretend like we're saying these things for the first time.
Yeah.
Although, you know, maybe we'll say things that we didn't think of to say the first time.
I mean, I'm sure we will.
Maybe this episode will turn out better than the first episode did.
Maybe.
I thought it was a pretty good episode, though. I was sad.
I did too.
It didn't record. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? After those last two episodes, we recorded a good one, and now it's gone.
Yeah, honestly, I mean...
God damn it. We did pick next week's episode during that recording. Should we honor that pick? Or
yes, I think we should.
Okay, Elliot Smith was what we landed on, as suggested by Facebook user Human Peen.
I love that guy.
Which I'm assuming is a pseudonym.
What if it's not?
That would be... God, I mean, his last name is Peen, and his parents called him Human.
Yeah, or he changed his name.
That's also true.
Like that person who changed their name to They, so that, like, when somebody said, you know what they say, they'd be talking about them.
Who did that?
Some person, I don't know.
I do remember reading in, like, TV Guide in the mid-2000s that there was a guy who legally changed his name to Jack Ass, and he sued MTV for defamation because of their television show.
The thing about that is, mm-hmm. I don't like to say that people are asking for it, but
Yeah, like
what? He named himself that.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Some people just really want attention.
Yeah, I guess so.
But anyway,
including me.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you say that as we record a podcast about how we feel about music.
Yeah. Which, who could give a shit? Right. But somehow people do.
Yeah. Sure. But we like attention.
Yeah. Everyone does. It sure is a human need.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but you know, we don't go changing our name to Jackass to get it.
No.
There are more constructive ways of getting attention.
Yeah, like recording a podcast.
This is constructive as shit.
That like 20 people about listen to.
It's more than 20. It's more than 20.
Well, good.
Yes. But yeah, we're talking about Susie and the Banshees. A band that came out of merry old England. So Caroline hates them. Because she hates the British and everything they stand for.
It's true. I went to England once, and my review, thumbs down. That's actually not true. I adored it.
England is great.
I love it. I would live there if I could.
Yeah.
Probably. But it would be stupid.
To live in England?
Yeah. To live in a place where you don't know anyone and you don't know the culture.
You would meet people. And I don't think the culture is radically different.
Listen to me. Uh-huh. You think I would meet people?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know.
Somehow.
It would be pretty harsh.
Nonetheless, they're from England.
Yep.
I think that's fair to say.
Well, it's the truth.
Right, so it's fair to say.
Yep.
Susie Sue, the magnetic, charismatic lead singer of the band.
Mm-hmm.
A goth icon.
Sure.
A punk icon.
She's got that shirt that's got boobs where her boobs are.
I haven't seen that, but it sounds cool.
Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I've seen those shirts before.
Yeah, well, she's got one.
You can get them at, like, beach shops and shit.
Well, maybe that's where she got hers.
Maybe.
Maybe she got hers in Miami.
Maybe. Susie and the Banshees, you're a fan, right, Caroline?
Yeah, well, I listened to Juju in college, and I was like, oh, this album's really good. I listened to a couple of their other ones, and I think they're a really good band, but they're not, like, a favorite. Mm-hmm. Like, every band can't be my favorite band, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that they're really good. And they have some really great songs, but they're just not like a huge part of my history, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But yeah, I'm a fan.
I mean, I stayed away from Susie and the Banshees for a long time.
You didn't want to associate with that kind of riffraff?
These goths.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what it was I was under the impression that their albums were not particularly well received. Like, they were a singles band, and that their albums weren't that good. I don't know why I thought that, because, like, looking around, it seems that particularly Kaleidoscope and Juju are very well liked by the music-liking public. But, for some reason, that was the belief that I had. So I always kind of stayed away from them. I mean, I knew a handful of songs by them. I knew Hong Kong Garden and Happy House and Christine and a couple others. But
sure.
But yeah, I hadn't really dug in until this week, and I'm happy to say that Susie the Banshees, good band.
Yeah.
They're a good band, for sure. Maybe not one of the best. You know, I wouldn't put them up in the A tier of their time, but certainly a good band. Certainly a band worth listening to. Certainly a band I'd recommend to anyone who enjoys the punk diaspora.
It wasn't pronounced diaspora.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce things.
Okay, well, I was in a class about refugees and displaced people. So I heard the word diaspora a lot.
Ah, I see. So what'd you learn in that class? That it sucks to be a refugee and displaced?
Yeah. And also that, you know, you some people don't have to live like a refugee.
They taught you that? Did they play Tom Petty like on the first day as you were all settling in?
Yeah, we had to write an analysis of the lyrics and of the symbolism of a refugee in that song.
That was a good way to introduce the subject matter of the class, probably.
Yep. And then I had to read the Dave Eggers book. What is the what?
You read Dave Eggers in a class about refugees?
Well, he wrote a book about it. Huh. He wrote a book about a Sudanese refugee called What is the What?
In America? Or?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was about a guy coming to America. You know, like the classic movie, Coming to America.
Sure. It was about Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. And Dave Eggers is kind of like, who needs him?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about Infinite Jest last week, but he's like a poor man's David Foster Wallace, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
And the thing about David Foster Wallace is I actually did start reading Infinite Jest again. And I've been at work, I've been listening to like radio interviews with him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
David Foster Wallace, that dude was smart.
Yeah.
And that dude was funny, and that dude knew what he was doing.
Mm.
But we don't need another one.
He was a bit of a scumbag, apparently.
Oh God, yeah.
His biographer.
Like, yeah, he like stalked Mary Carr and tried to push her out of a moving car and like threw a table at her. Like, yeah, he was a scumbag.
Yeah, and he like preyed on emotional fragile women at AA meetings and shit. Apparently,
I didn't know that, but yeah. that does not surprise me at all.
Well, you know, he's an addict himself, but still.
He's dead now, so.
Right. Now he's dead. He's burning in hell.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think he's doing anything. I think he's dead.
All right. Agree to disagree.
Well, I'm not a very vengeful person, even people that deserve it.
Nah, I mean, I feel you. I'm not either. I just want everyone.
Just be nice.
Right.
Jesus. Yeah. How hard is it? God.
Yep.
But anyway.
You should teach a philosophy class.
I should. Good Lord. I took a philosophy. Have you ever taken a philosophy class?
I was originally going to be a philosophy minor, but
I was too.
I hated my intro professor so much that I gave up.
I did too.
Is that the reason you gave up?
No, I just, what happened was, is I took a philosophy class, and there was a guy in the class who was, like, a physics major who was going to take the class to prove how stupid philosophy was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if I ever have to deal with any dudes like this again, I'm out of here.
Did he, like, publicly announce that to the entire class, or, like...
Yeah.
What a douchebag.
Oh my God, I hope that guy's dead.
burning in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's
probably splitting atoms and shit.
Nah, he's probably like an MRA.
Oh. Well,
he could be that look.
He could be an MRA who is splitting atoms right now.
Probably. Mm. I mean, everybody's doing better than me, so...
you're doing fine. Don't worry about it.
Thanks.
But Susie and the Banshees started in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
They were into punk rock at the time. Very taken with the Sex Pistols, is my understanding.
Man, people really were.
Well, you gotta understand, like, in present day, the Sex Pistols don't really seem all that radical, but
well, the thing of it is, I gotta say, is that that album has some really good songs.
Oh, yeah. Holidays in the Sun, fucking the two singles.
Yeah.
Or I guess three singles. I guess Pretty Vacant was a single, too, wasn't it?
But yeah. And have there ever been any, like, radical pro-life groups that have taken the song Bodies? I've always wondered that.
I don't know. I think they might be a little... might be a little too raunchy for a pro-life group.
No, but that's a good song, despite...
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
despite it all. But it... I don't know. It's... Like, that album is so uneven, I sort
yeah,
of...
Yeah, yeah. But just in terms of, like, sheer image, like, they were a shock, you know?
To, yeah.
To, you know, to
English.
British society.
Yeah, stiff upper lip and all that.
Sure. But nonetheless, Susie and the Banshees formed, started out as a fairly lockstep kind of post-punk band, but evolved and became more of a, well, I guess goth rock is just a subset of post-punk, but nonetheless, they evolved more toward that direction than how they started, I think.
But I get, like, what is the goth rock sound that makes it different?
Goth rock sound, to me, it's like gloominess. The, you know, because post-punk, I feel, is sort of brittle and tense and often angry, but sure. But more brittle and tense is how I would describe it. But goth rock isn't so much brittle and tense as it is just like sort of gloomy and downtrodden and has lots of echo on the guitars and you know, lots of sort of monotone singers.
I wouldn't really call Susie Sue monotone. She has her moments, but
well, I should say, first of all, I think Susie Sue is a great front woman.
Oh God, yeah,
a great singer, but her vocal capabilities are limited.
Well, that's not the same as being monotone, though.
Yeah, I guess maybe monotone is putting it too strongly, but
yeah,
but you know what I mean. Like Susie,
I know what you mean.
She always sounds the same, pretty much.
I know what you mean, but like, you could be a limited vocalist and still be an interesting vocalist.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Which I would say that she is.
I mean, I'd say the same of, like, Robert Smith, for instance.
Sure.
That's a guy with, like, zero range, basically. He always has that sort of yelp that he does.
Yeah. Well, the thing about singing is, like, you can learn how to sing, but a lot of it is just kind of luck. Like, to be a good singer.
To be a good singer.
Yeah, yeah, like, some of sure. It you just kind of get lucky. I don't know.
But, like, I think you can... You can push, though.
You could develop a technique, but I think...
And you can strive to use your voice in different ways, I guess.
Yeah, like, I guess so. And I'm also, like, when I used to sing, I used to have a much broader range when I actually used my voice versus now that I, like, don't sing anymore. And
sure.
So my range really shrunk, but I guess.
Well, I guess I think of... someone like Gene Ween, for instance. That's a guy who has a very versatile voice. You know, that he can do many different things with his voice to fit, you know, the many genre explorations of his band.
He like really needs a place among like the greatest vocalists.
I 100% agree. Like Gene Ween, he has a beautiful voice, first of all. Like if when he really needs to like sing melodically, like he has a gorgeous set of pipes.
Yeah.
And
he can do so many different things.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can imitate so many different styles.
Mm-hmm. And loath as I am to drop this name in the conversation also, someone like Mike Patton obviously has a great range in his voice and a versatility that
unfortunately, yes.
It's kind of weird. We haven't done any Mike Patton bands yet.
I think I might have something to do with that.
Well, I haven't pushed for it yet, to be fair.
I'm surprised nobody requested it.
I think someone did actually throw Faith No More in.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
It would be interesting for me to revisit Mr. Bungle and see, like,
if it does anything for you.
Yeah. Because it definitely seems like something I should like.
Because
I like Frank Zappa and shit like that.
I think you just have a certain aversion to Mike Patton. It's basically what it is.
He just looks disgusting.
Well, there's a lot of bands like that, I think, where the vocalist is kind of a make or break element, you know?
Yeah. It's not even his voice. It's just him.
He just seems like a sleazy dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
I can't disagree. I read an interview with him where he talked about, like, he likes
to much he loves to eat pussy.
No. I'm sure he does. But
who doesn't?
Yeah, we've all been there. But he was talking about how he loves to play pranks, and like one thing that he used to do was like unscrew the cap when he would be in hotel rooms. He would unscrew the cap of the hair dryer, yeah, and take a shit in it.
Okay.
And then screw it back on so that the next person would blow chunks of shit into their hair.
I hope that somebody murders him.
Who does that?
That's so, like, that's not even a how old are you, because, like,
he's like 40-something.
Who the fuck would do something like that, right? Ever?
Mm.
Like, unless you just have zero regard for other human beings. And also, like, why, like, that just seems like way too much effort for something that you're not even gonna see.
It's the satisfaction of knowing that it's happening, though.
See, that's not enough for me. That
you gotta see it.
You
gotta see that shit fly.
You have to do a lot to get me to shit someplace other than a toilet.
Alright, let's talk about these
items. Yeah. It's turning out a lot worse than our first take.
I think it's going all right. Yeah, so 1978, we get Susie and the Banshees' first album, The Scream.
Yeah.
Which is certainly an album. I'll give them that.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just kind of less than what they would do later.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of interesting. Apparently, the lyrics are really inspired by J.G. Ballard, which I find pretty interesting because I like J.G. Ballard. Mm. I haven't seen High Rise yet, but I read the book. Book is really good.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a really terrible book that came out like 2 years ago that completely apes its premise. It's called Condominium. Don't read that book. It's terrible. It's about hipsters in New York.
Yeah, and we don't have nearly enough books on that subject.
I know, right? Like, that. Okay. There are just not enough books about New York, you guys.
Not enough movies, either.
There's not enough. I mean,
where's all the New York movies?
It's such a fertile subject. Why aren't people taking advantage of this place?
This is bullshit.
I mean, all movies, like, as we know, all movies take place in, you know, suburban North Carolina. Right. And it's enough just saying, already.
Spread the wealth, man.
Yeah. You know,
there's a whole America outside of suburban North Carolina.
Have some movies in New York. Have some movies that take place in Los Angeles if you really want to be avant-garde.
For sure.
Please. But, yeah.
Anyway. This album, it definitely, I mean, you were somewhat finicky about the distinction between post-punk and goth rock.
Yeah, but this is definitely a, like, by-the-numbers post-punk.
I'd say so, sure.
Yeah.
It definitely sounds a lot more like post-punk, and, to me, the songwriting isn't really there.
Well, this is before either Budgie or John McGotch.
That can't possibly be how you pronounce that.
John McGotch. He's Irish. He's Scottish. I don't know.
Right.
Well, before either of them joined the band, and their drummer and guitarist who were in before them were not as interesting. They had John McKay, who I really wish was a better guitarist, so they would have kept him, so they would have had somebody whose name I could say, but they didn't.
No, they went with John McGooch.
The Goocher.
The Gooch. Old Gucci. yeah, so old Gucci wasn't in the band yet. Budgie wasn't in the band yet. Future Susie and the Banshees drummer and paramour.
Future Mr. Sue.
Of Mr. Sue. Susie herself. They were.
Well, with item. With a name like Budgie.
Budgie Sue.
That was one cool dude.
Yeah, I appreciate an artist who reduces his name to one name.
Especially a stupid one.
Yeah. Like Bono.
I love that his name comes from Bono Vox. Like yeah, yeah. So it just means like good ear.
Good voice.
Good voice.
And we wondered like why fucking U2 seemed so smug in their later years. Like, nah, that's always been there.
Yep.
But yeah, this album is okay though. Like you could do a lot worse.
I just, I do feel like, this album is really eclipsed by their first single, Hong Kong Garden.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Which is a non-album track. I think Hong Kong Garden is sort of what drew them attention in the first place. It is.
That was a pretty big hit.
Mm. And,
number 7 on the rock charts.
Oh, okay.
Over
so,
there.
So it was like a legitimate hit.
Yeah.
Not just
No, I'm
like
not a, I'm not jerking you around.
No, I just mean like, you know, not like an underground hit or whatever.
No, it was pretty big.
Well, that's neat. I mean, I can see why they left it off this record though, cuz
it doesn't fit.
Yeah, it's jaunty, you know, Hong Kong Garden. Which does not fit in with the mood of the rest of this record, which is very post-punk.
Yeah.
Brittle, tense.
You do get a nice nice Beatles cover.
Yeah, Helter
Skelter. It's got some swearing in it.
Oh, taking the Beatles up another notch.
That's right.
Kicking that shit into the stratosphere.
That's what the Beatles really needed.
A few more fucks.
They needed a lot more swearing.
Throw some fucks in there, Beatles.
Yeah, jeez. You could do it.
Hey, Lennon did it when he was solo.
Yeah. Harry asleep, you cunt.
Of course, he was the badass.
He was the bad boy. He was the bad boy of the Beatles.
That's right. He was really into like art and stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't he like play a big role in like popularizing El Topo or something like that? Like he
the movie?
Yeah. Like he was like a huge fan and talked about it all the time in the press or something.
I don't know specifically, but that doesn't sound wrong.
It's possible I made that up.
I mean, it's possible. He was a big fan of the first B-52s album.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There you go. Man of Taste. And that came out the year before he died.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
You decide.
AlexJones.com.
It's Infowars.com.
Oh, right. My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so you got the Beatles cover on here. Yeah. Helter Skelter.
Sure. Which is a great song, so it's a fun cover.
Yeah, the cover's okay.
But it doesn't do a lot different with it.
Right.
I definitely, like, I like
well,
their
other... Well, it has
other...
that Falk in it.
Yeah, but other than that, like, it's not a radical cover.
No. I mean, that's one of my favorite Beatles songs, too, so...
Yeah, likewise.
And, you know, this is bass, drums, guitar, meat and potatoes kind of post-punk for the most part.
Bangers and mash.
Oh, right, right. Nice.
Thank you.
Well done. It does have Suburban Relapse on it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
That's a song that really barrels and just keeps, like, building in intensity and pounding down on you and, you know, just building and building in intensity until it gets to the end.
Yeah, like Franz Kafka's The Judgment.
Sure.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. That guy jumps off a bridge because his dad was mean to him.
Yeah.
Because his dad accused him of fucking some girl. And he was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Better jump off a bridge.
Is that enough to commit suicide? Why didn't you just be like, hell yeah, I did, and bro kissed his dad, you know?
Well, you know, Franz Kafka was very ashamed of his sexuality.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just, like, that he had one?
Yeah. He wasn't gay, because, believe me, I digged. I wanted Franz Kafka. I wanted Franz Kafka to be gay. So I really dug for evidence. Mm. That clearly had nothing to do with me.
No.
I just really wanted to know that this dude, who I heavily identified with, fucked some dudes. But he didn't. But he did write some pretty kinky stuff in his diary.
Oh, yeah?
That's, yeah, like he talked about a dude's bulge. Dude on the train who had a big dick.
Well,
don't
something.
Think he didn't notice. He wrote this thing about, like, these two Swedish boys. He said their legs are so, like, toned and tight that the only way to get at them would be with the tongue.
Well,
I mean,
that's something.
That sounds kind of gay.
That's evidence.
Yeah, but I don't know if he ever went through with any of it.
Well, you know.
I think
a lot of guys are in denial that they might have a little something there.
I think so, too. And I think, like, it's okay. No one's going to die.
Right.
Just Franz Kafka, do me a solid here. Act out on those feelings.
Well, you know, it was fucking the 20s or whenever it was.
Oh, the 20s was...
Gay
it was
hell?
It was a gay old time.
In Germany, though?
Oh, in Weimar, Germany?
Hmm.
You better fucking believe it.
Okay.
Like, the world never saw such homoeroticism.
Or I can't tell if you're joking or not.
No, I'm not. Oh, okay. I'm being serious.
This is something you've studied up on?
A little bit.
Okay.
You know me.
Sure. Always looking for that gay stuff.
Yeah. Also just like sexuality in general. Cause,
sure.
Because I find it sort of disgusting, and so I want to know all about it.
Right. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I find other people's weird sex shit fascinating.
Yeah.
There's just something about it.
Yeah, like inflation fetishes. Hear about these people?
The, like, balloon people?
Well, there's balloon people, and then there's people that want to, like, be the balloon.
They want to be the balloon.
Or they want to make another person the balloon. They just want to get somebody that's
blown?
Filled up air. They just want to, like, have somebody that's, like, filled up with air, like a balloon. I don't know.
Why? I mean...
I don't know why.
Blow-up dolls are a thing.
I'm sure they know all about it. But I cannot imagine that that's enjoyable at all.
Blow-up doll?
Yeah.
It's got to be a poor substitute.
Because it's like a fucking pool toy. Like, that stuff's a little rough on the skin.
Might as well fuck a raft.
Yeah, that's a little rough on the skin, wouldn't you say? Mm. You ever been on a raft?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wouldn't be my first choice.
I don't think a blow-up doll is anyone's first choice.
Well, maybe for these
more
people.
More of a last resort, I think.
Yeah.
I
can't believe people. Put it away. Put it away, America.
For the love of all that is decent.
Yeah. But anyway.
So yeah, the Scream.
It's all right.
It's all right.
We're going to skip over their second album, which nobody likes.
Nobody likes it, apparently.
And we're going to go to Kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope.
Which has the Goocher and Budgie.
The Gooch is fucking killing it on this record, let me tell you.
Budgie and the Gooch.
Yes. yeah, Budgie and the Gooch, fucking team up there with the ages.
Or oh maybe, my god.
Well, you know what I meant.
But seriously, like, Budgie is such a good drummer.
Sure.
He does so much good shit.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Like, he just has a style that's, like, really unique.
Mm.
And it really adds to the songs. I don't know. I'm not no scientist.
Scientists are studying drummers.
Well, I'm sure some of them are.
Yeah.
They'll study anything, those scientists.
Yeah. Leave them alone in a room for too long, they'll start studying.
So what do you think of this record?
Kaleidoscope. I think this is my favorite Susie and the Banshees record. It's... First of all, Kaleidoscope is an apt title for this album because it's far more colorful and just diverse and quirky and interesting. Like, they apparently said that they had the goal of making every song on this album different. And they succeeded at their task, I would say, because this is just an album with a lot more character than the Scream has, I think.
Yeah, it's much more distinctive.
Yeah, and every song has sort of unique sounds and tones going on in it.
Hell yeah.
And the songwriting in general, I think, is much improved from the Scream. Like, the songs are just more memorable in addition to being more colorful.
Yeah.
Including what I think is the best Susie and the Banshees song, which is Happy House.
Hoppy House.
Right. As Miss Sue herself would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, Happy House is just a classic as far as I'm concerned.
It's so good.
You got that organ in the beginning. You got
I love a good organ.
I do too, dude. That's why I like Stereolab.
That's why I like the Doors.
I like Stereolab more than the Doors.
I mean, yeah. But I mean, the Doors is like a critical overload of organ.
That's true.
Like, they could have dialed it back, but they didn't.
They didn't even have a bass player.
They did on the records, though.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they would have session people.
Oh, sellouts.
Hey. Session bass players need work.
Yeah, I guess. But Happy House is wonderful. It's got a great drumming, like we were talking about before. You get this awesome, like, tom pattern going through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Great guitar playing. Cool organ sound.
A great vocal performance.
Definitely.
Like, this is... She really arrives on this record, you know?
It's a memorably haunting song.
Yes.
And it deserves to be a big hit for Susie, although I don't know if it was.
It was. This and Christine were both big hits.
Oh, good. This was the first Susie and the Banshees song I ever heard, actually, Happy House, and it remains my favorite after all these years.
Ofter?
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
I don't think you heard me right.
All right, maybe not.
Yeah, it's classic.
And you got like Hybrid. Mm. Hybrid's a really good song. Lunar Camel.
Lunar Camel, which kind of sounds like the title.
Camel walking on the moon.
Yeah, it does sort of sound like a camel walking around on the moon.
How'd it get up there? What's it doing up there?
Oh, you know, we're going to colonize the moon, right?
Probably.
We're all going to be living on the moon in 10 years.
We're all going to be drinking moon juice with President Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yes. Excellent John Mulaney reference. Thank you.
Mm. That's such a good joke.
Drinking moon juice with President Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
He could be president. Yeah. He went to Harvard.
Hey, if Trump can be president, why not?
Oh my God.
Am I right?
This fucking convention. Did you see Brett Baer filling up a water bottle with mustard?
I did, yes.
That was good.
I heard about all of it. Oh God, weep for America, everybody. Weep for America.
We gotta just end this whole thing.
This was a failed experiment.
I think it was. If this is where it, like, where do we go from here?
See, that's the thing. Like, I don't think Trump is going to win, but those Trump voters aren't going away, you know?
Exactly.
Like, that anger is still there.
Like, whether no matter what happened, it revealed something extremely ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. That can't ever be not seen again.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's fucking... Can somebody just kill that guy? I want to clarify to the NSA that I'm joking. Mm-hmm. But also... I mean... Come on.
That guy. If anyone deserves it. Christine, the other big single off of this album.
Is it about the car?
I don't think it's about the car, no. maybe. I'm pretty sure it was written before that book came out.
I'm going to put that to the test.
I think Christine was like 1982 or 3 or something. Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the movie.
1983.
Okay. I saw the movie recently, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was it?
I liked it.
Really?
It was pretty good. Yeah. Look, obviously it's a dumb premise for a movie. But, you know, it's well executed, I think.
All right.
It's John Carpenter, man.
Yeah, I guess.
John Carpenter's never made a bad movie.
Yeah, obviously.
Ghosts of Mars, classic.
The thing I find interesting about Christine is that I think it was released before Stephen King got hit by a car, which makes me believe that the car that hit him heard about it and was like, I'm going to take him out.
Son of Christine. Well, you know, between that and Trucks, the story that Maximum Overdrive was based on, Stephen King would seem to have a certain fear of cars.
Maximum Overdrive is fucking amazing.
I've never seen it.
Oh my God. There's this montage of people all filling up their cars at a gas station that's set to an AC/DC song.
Really?
Yes.
Which one?
I forget. Because they all sound the same. But it's so good.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds like something I gotta check out.
Yep. But you know, throw a vape on. And because Jeff's a vape bro now.
Vape bro.
Yeah.
Look, I was at a bar and a representative of Big Tobacco came by and gave me a free vape pen. And you know what? I'm just going to roll with this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be a vape bro from now on.
A vape pen is much nicer than those big apparatuses.
Yeah. I couldn't believe. Because I remember when, like, vaping first started kind of catching on.
Yeah, I do too.
And like now, I can't believe where it's gone since then. These fucking like robot machines these people have that are like,
right.
It's insane.
And look, it is enjoyable, but dial it down, people.
Well, it's just vaping doesn't need to have a culture,
right?
You know,
that's the thing. That's what's so crazy about the whole thing.
And, like, it needs to be regulated also.
Yeah.
Like, it's a totally unregulated industry right now, which is troubling.
My dad, he was, I suggested that my brother should get a, like, a vape pen to help him to quit smoking, and my dad was like, he didn't understand that that's the same thing as an e-cigarette, and he was like, well, we shouldn't use one of those because those blow up in people's faces and people get killed.
A vape pen?
Yeah, I guess. It blew up.
This isn't like a James Bond movie.
I know. Or like a Looney Tunes, where like the cigar like blows up in their face, and then they got all ash in their face. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Always a good gag.
But yeah, Christina is a great song. It's got that acoustic guitar.
Yes. The song just glides, man. Like, yeah. It's so groovy. That fucking bass line just, like, slinks. And it kind of makes you feel badass when you listen to it. Like,
she's a purple, now she's a turtle. That does make me feel badass. My favorite color is purple, so.
That's one of those lyrics, you sang that aloud last time we recorded this episode, and it had never really struck me how stupid a lyric that is.
They're like, a little stupid.
Like, what?
They're a little stupid.
Susie and the Banshees. Yeah, I guess. I mean, just, they're goths.
They, like, trust me, when they're stupid, it's amazing. Like, Peekaboo is incredible, and it's stupid as hell. But, you know, everybody... Well, every band that I like, stupidity is a big part of it.
Sure.
Like, the Butthole Surfers and the Cows and the Boredoms and so on and so forth. So you just gotta embrace it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if we on this show call your favorite band stupid, you have to embrace it.
Right. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Because every band is stupid.
Right. Art is stupid.
Yeah. There's no point to any of it.
No. Oh, I created something that expresses how I feel about things.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Exactly.
Get a job.
Yeah.
Leeching off the hard workers of America. Jesus.
You want to create something? How about creating some jobs? Yeah. Hillary Clinton.
Good point. Good point, Caroline.
Thank you.
We should start a political podcast.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, we were talking about the Sex Pistols before. Steve Jones plays lead guitar on three of these songs.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he plays on Clockface, Paradise Place, and Skin. Hmm. So two rhyming songs, a song title that doesn't rhyme.
All right. That's not bad. Off. Two out of three.
Yeah, but so, you know, they got to play with one of their heroes. How cool is that?
That is pretty cool.
It'd be like if I got to play with Kira Rossler. Maybe someday.
But yeah, like I was saying before, this album is just a lot more colorful, and it has a lot of interesting sounds on it, kind of. A song like Tenant, for instance, which is held down by these, I guess they're bass harmonics. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it is.
But it gives the song like a really creepy and ominous feel, that like doo 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 coming through the whole thing, and these squelching synths like going up and down the whole time, and it just creates a really ominous atmosphere that's very cool.
Yeah, people do need to use the synth more for, you know, unease and dread.
Just pure sound rather than like as a melodic right. instrument.
Like, do you know that album, The Bridge, by Thomas Lear and Robert Rental?
No, I don't know who either of those people are either.
It was like late 70s kind of synth punk type stuff from Merry Old England. And they do a lot of that, and it's really, really good. So. And Suicide, too.
Sure. Rest in peace, Alan Vega.
Yeah, that really hit me.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
I went through a suicide phase. I mean, in both senses, sure. But at separate times. They're a great band. They really deserved more recognition. Mm-hmm. Than they got. Like, I know that Frankie Teardrop gets a lot of accolades, and it should, but they have a lot of really good albums. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how old Alan Vega is, because...
He was almost 40 when that first album came out.
Yeah, which is weird, because it seems like such a young man's album, you know?
But that's really inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. That I can be 40 and I can be still bitter and nihilistic and scary.
That's something to aspire to.
Yeah. I don't want to be well adjusted. I don't think it'll be good for me. Yeah. No. But, so you got anything else about Kaleidoscope?
I wanted to point out Red Light also, which I think sort of demonstrates texturally how this album is interesting, because it's just based on this drum loop and synth bass that carries it through, and again, just a cool sounding song that they use these different instruments, and like the sound of like photos being snapped also.
Yes, that's cool. It makes me think of I watched Blowout.
Oh yeah,
the other day.
Good.
Very good, very good. I would definitely recommend it.
I have not caught that yet.
It's a lot. It reminds me a lot of The Conversation.
Also excellent.
Which is a fave.
Y'all, if you haven't seen The Conversation, like, I can't recommend that enough.
You got to.
Great, 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 great movie.
Yes, very underrated.
Well...
I don't know. I guess...
Is it under... I mean, it's kind of overshadowed by The Godfather and Apocalypse Now, but...
I think amongst, like, film people, it's not. But in the general...
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
in the general public, like, everybody knows The Godfather. I feel like very few people that are not already into movies know about The Conversation.
Yeah, maybe not.
But I don't know.
I guess that's true.
But a lot of people know about Jack. Francis Ford Coppola's Jack.
You know, he kind of still sticks up for that movie.
Does he?
I was reading recently.
He's why?
Like, I don't know. He's just like, yeah, you know, it was a movie I wanted to make and I made it.
that's all he had to say.
Basically, yeah. I mean, he didn't offer like a cogent defense of it. He was just like, yeah, whatever, it happened.
Well, I guess. I mean, I can't argue. I saw that movie as a kid, and I didn't like it. I thought it was weird.
Of course you didn't.
I thought it was weird.
Why would you?
I don't know. Well, as a little kid, I feel like you don't...
Yeah, sure. You think every movie is good when
you're
a kid.
Right, but I do remember like being kind of bored by it, and then also being like kind of creeped out by it. Because like Fran Drescher wanted to fuck that kid.
Dude's going to fuck that kid.
Well, it's like, well, A, it's Robin Williams. Like,
right. So, like, even if you do, like, believe this person is an adult.
And, like, and I'm sure, like, I'm sure Robin Williams, like, I'm sure women were attracted to him and he was fine. But, like,
Robin Williams was slamming ass, I guarantee.
I'm sure. But, like, he could hold off, though. Mm. I mean, it's not, it's, he wasn't like an Aaron Eckhart or something. Like, somebody really handsome.
Is that the first person that came to your mind, Aaron Eckhart?
Well, he's handsome.
Yeah, sure. He's not what I think of as like a Hollywood hunk, though.
Well, if not him, then who?
I don't know. Fucking one of these superhero losers that are going around. Chris Evans or something.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Not to my taste.
Yeah. Did you ever see Snowpiercer?
No, I need to see it.
That movie rules.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
Yeah, you do.
Is Aaron Eckhart in it?
No, but Chris Evans is.
And Octavia Spencer, she's in it, right?
Yeah, yeah, she is.
Yeah, because she's cool.
She is cool. You're right.
She's a good actress.
Well spotted.
Thank you. So, can we talk about my favorite Susie and the Banshees album now?
Is it Kaleidoscope?
It's Juju.
Oh.
The next one.
All right.
This is the one that's everybody's favorite, but you know why? Because it's great.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's not everybody's favorite.
Well, not yours.
As already stated, mine is Kaleidoscope.
But this is definitely their most acclaimed.
Right, but I'm just trying to point out you made a factually wrong statement.
Oh. I was exaggerating for effect.
Well, don't.
Okay. But anyway, fucking Spellbound. So good.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, dude.
It's one of several album openers they have that sort of starts out with this kind of like moody intro and then like explodes into a furious furious whirlwind of.
It's almost like Marshall the way it, like the way it moves.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know, and like she's just singing the shit out of that song.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
That's definitely a good example of Susie's vocal prowess.
Yeah.
Look, I see why people think this is the best Susie album.
It has the best songs.
It does have the best songs. I'll give it that. It's definitely their most like well constructed and consistently good album. But I guess I do feel like at this point they had kind of crossed over into that goth rock mold where. You know, it's all spooky guitars and plodding bass, and it isn't quite as colorful as Kaleidoscope, which is like a reason that I really liked that album.
I think this album has a lot of energy.
Yeah, yeah. Again, it's a very good album.
Yeah.
Especially the first half.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You got I guess my favorite song is probably Into the Light.
Mm.
Which has that cool, like, synth.
Is that line. A synth?
I think so.
Or a guitar.
That wah 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 wah
wah.
I think it's a synth.
Okay.
It's great, though. And that too, like, that's a beautiful vocal
mm-hmm.
that she does, and it's just a great song.
Absolutely, and the guitar part in the chorus, the like man out.
Yes,
like yeah. I mean, it's very dense sounding.
When it's like soaring.
Yeah, absolutely. Into the Light is a very good song.
And the other big single, Arabian Nights.
Arabian Nights, sure.
Arabian Nights.
That is how it goes. Yes.
Yep. I just wanted to inject some energy into this podcast. All right.
Feel like we were doing just fine.
All right. And Halloween. That's, you know, a little
Halloween.
Yep. This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene.
Fucking rip-off artist.
Yeah, and but it is a little funny. It's about trick-or-treat, the bitter and the sweet.
Mm.
Or the bitter and the sweet.
Sweet.
That's how she says it.
Trick-or-treat, the bitter and the sweet.
That's how she says it. It doesn't even rhyme.
It's true.
An idiot. I don't know.
Get a grip, Susie.
So yeah, like the first half is just like hit after hit.
Yeah,
you know, it's great.
Monitor, which is downright angry.
Yeah,
it's a little punk going on here.
Woo!
That like opening guitar riff, like that's rough, man.
It's great.
Mm.
It's great shit.
I saw someone on RYM compare it to Fugazi actually, and that's not far off, honestly.
It's like, really, it's really not.
Monitor kind of does sound like a Fugazi song a little bit.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's not as raw, maybe, but it's really good.
Mm.
I mean, Fugazi, that was like raw as any. Yeah,
it's piss and vinegar.
Phew.
I love that phrase.
It's so weird.
What, piss and vinegar?
Yeah, like, what does that mean?
I don't know. Neither like, of those are pleasant substances.
Like, things that are, like, kind of acidic and smell terrible.
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, Fugazi.
Yeah. Yeah, noted for smelling terrible.
Dude, look at Guy Picciotto and tell me that guy smells good.
Maybe he does. I think he's quite handsome.
That's nothing to do with it.
Well, I would hope if somebody's handsome, I would want them to smell good, so you know you don't hate being around them.
Right.
But nah, I can see what you're saying. Well, they all look sweaty.
Right.
But
exactly.
What are you gonna do? It's those muggy Washington D.C. summers.
If they're anything like they are here.
Oof.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
It's fucking humid out right now, let me tell you.
It's disgusting. Don't come to North Carolina.
Really, just stay out of the American South in general.
Just stay out of America.
Yeah.
It pains me to say it. Because I honestly, like, and I think we've talked about this, I think both of us really do love America.
The good parts of it.
The good part, yeah, but there's just so much terrible.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of terrible things associated with saying that you love America, because right. What I mean by that is, like, as a place, and, you know, I love our music and our movies and our, like, cultural contributions, things like that. The Simpsons.
Sure.
The most shining example of American cultural history.
America's Shakespeare.
That's what I said one time.
Yep.
And I stand by it.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, it's better than Shakespeare.
I do really love Shakespeare, but no,
I do too.
I would agree. side B, you got like Sin in My Heart. That's a great song. Mm-hmm. Another like driving tune.
Yeah. Very, very goth title.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're all about.
Sin in My Heart.
Yeah.
You got a nice dirgy bit in Night Shift.
Like that. Love a good dirge.
Oh yeah. Interestingly, Trucks, the aforementioned Stephen King story that we were talking about.
Yeah.
was released in a collection of Stephen King short stories called Night Shift.
Oh, interesting.
The connections keep piling on.
This sounds like a conspiracy.
Infowars.com.
Yeah. You can also buy, like,
some goat crystals.
Yeah, crystals and, like, goat testicle serum or something.
Goat testicle serum.
I don't know. But that used to be a thing in the early 20th century where guys, like, couldn't get it up, and so doctors would put, like, powdered goat testicles in their testicles, then all the guys got gangrene and died, or their testicles fell off.
See, if you can't get it up, that's just God's way of telling you,
don't.
You weren't meant to fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it sucks, but...
Well, I guess my thing is, like, I don't know. Maybe we're going a little too deep.
Maybe I don't know.
But do you like have sexual desire if you can't get erections? Like,
well, yeah, I would think. I mean, a lot, like, of it is mental.
Yeah, I guess. But like without the physical response, like,
look, I don't know. How the fuck would I know?
I don't know.
Of all people.
Well. You like reading about weird sex shit.
That's true, but I really I don't know a lot about that particular subject. But I would think so, because I would think that if you didn't, then it wouldn't be such a problem.
Sure. Viagra wouldn't be making all that money that they're making.
Viva Viagra! Remember that?
No. I remember Bob Dole being their spokesman, though.
Oh, God. That's horrifying.
I can't believe Bob Dole is still alive.
He's still alive now?
Yeah, dude. I think he was at the GOP convention.
Oh, God.
Weird, huh?
I wonder if Brett Baer, you know, spooned some mustard into his mouth because he can't eat solid food because he's so old.
But it's weird that Bob Dole is still alive, right? Because, like,
it's weird for any of us to be alive, Jeff.
Well, other than Viagra, though, like, Bob Dole just, like, vanished from politics after he lost in 96, you know? Like, he decided
it didn't work out, so that was the end of it.
Getting out of that rat race. Remember that movie Rat Race?
I think I do. That ends with a smash mouth cut.
That it does.
That was a movie I watched a lot.
Really? I saw it in theaters. I remember
that. Yeah, I didn't see it in theaters, but I do remember watching it a lot. I remember that being one of the first DVDs that my family owned. So I wound up watching it a lot.
I think, like, my first DVDs were, like, season one of The Simpsons and, like...
I got that for my birthday when I was, like, 11.
Yeah, I got it for Christmas, I remember. Because our first DVD player was a PlayStation 2, actually. So,
ooh.
Yep. And I got, like, Dumb and Dumber and Spaceballs and shit. Like, that was the kind of movies I was into.
We had a History of the World.
Oh, yeah, the Mel Brooks movie.
Mel Brooks movie, which is pretty good.
Is it? I saw it when I was a kid, but that was a long time ago.
It's pretty funny. I don't know. I probably have some affection for it because I saw it as a kid.
Mm.
But, you know.
Yeah. I mean probably same with me and Spaceballs. Like, I'm sure if I watched Spaceballs for the first time today, I would think it was terrible.
Like, enough. Enough of this shit.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
I also want to say this album closes magnificently with Voodoo Dolly.
Yes.
Like, that gets downright savage in its second half.
It's noise.
Like, those guitars are shredding toward the end.
Oof. Love it.
This is like Sonic Youth.
Love it.
It was before Sonic Youth, right?
Yeah. Well, I think Thurston Moore... Well, no.
Well, their first EP came out in like 82, didn't it? Or 81?
I think around 81, 82. I think they were farting around.
Yeah.
But Thurston Moore, I think, has said that Hong Kong Garden is one of his favorite songs. So they're definite Susie fans.
Okay.
Or at least
maybe they weren't paying attention here.
They must have been.
So that's Juju. Very good record.
Great record.
Highly recommend.
I would say. Yeah.
And that brings us to the next album, 1982's A Kiss in the Dream House.
Or, as I like to call it, A Kiss in the Scream House. Because they're goth.
Right.
So.
Caroline made that joke last time we recorded.
I had been sitting on it the whole week, and I didn't want to let it go.
I knew as soon as I said the title aloud that you were going to come in with that again.
I had to.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, this album is a step down, I think.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I think they're going in a more like overtly psychedelic direction, kind of from this point on.
Yeah.
It's just a lot more sort of. I mean, it's still like gloomy and gothy and stuff, but you know, there's everything's reverbed, everything's trippy sounding. Like, it's a nice little record. But
from here on out, there's a lot of reverb.
Yeah, especially on the next one. But
Downeaster Alexa.
I guess just the songs aren't quite as memorable for me.
Right, I agree. I think that they hit a songwriting peak, and then they just never got back on track for me.
Yeah, kind of more of the same, I guess.
Yeah.
But we do get another great opener with Cascade. Another one of the songs I was talking about before that. You know, starts out with a nice, slow, gothy little bit and then just takes off like a rocket. All the air was shining like a wedding ring. Born like sex, I felt 10,000 balls. My chest was full of bills, pushing from
yes.
Cascade especially, like, dude, the arpeggios on this track.
I knew that when I was listening to this album, I was like, Jeff is going to nut because there's so many arpeggios.
I nutted. What can I say?
You're only human.
Yeah. There's only so many arpeggios a man can take, and then he has to nut. Nutting is then the only option. Yeah, Cascade, just a great song. And Susie's a great arpeggio band, actually, I have to say. There's all kinds of arpeggios popping up all over the
arpeggios
place.
Arpeggios out the ass.
Uh-huh. And you know, maybe they're not quite at the arpeggio level of an REM or a Deer Hunter, but, you know, they're doing the best they can, and they're throwing in arpeggios.
Yeah, all over the place.
And I appreciate any effort at an arpeggio, so...
As covered, gets the thumbs, you know? Up. Yep. But I mean, even though they never got back on track, I really do appreciate that they try to do different shit.
And, yeah, sure.
Like, for every Susie album that we talk about, there's sort of like different bands that cite it as a favorite.
Huh.
Like for this one, like LCD Sound System.
Oh, God.
Are big fans of this record. I know, I don't like them either, but I really don't like LCD Sound System.
I hate
System.
LCD Sounds. I fucking hate LCD Sound System. I want to make that
LCD
clear.
LCD Sound System.
I've tried. Here's the thing. I have tried very hard to like LCD Sound System, and it just doesn't
happen. Bullshit.
I hate them.
Nevertheless, they're big fans, and you've had, like... Thurston Moore sang Hong Kong Garden. You had a Shirley Manson of Garbage is apparently a huge fan of the first album. So, like, for every album that they do, like, different people are taking it as an influence, which I think is really cool.
I will say it does seem like there is a consistency in this period that fans do seem to have a hard time choosing which is the best. I mean, Juju kind of gets the consensus vote, but by and large, like... With the exception of, what's that shitty second album called?
Join Hands?
Join Hands, yeah. with the exception of that one, like, it seems like sort of all these albums we're talking about, people have their favorites among them.
Yeah.
But this one doesn't quite tickle me as much.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's there, and it's got good stuff. Cascade, as I mentioned before. I really love Circle because it's got that... I mean, I don't know if sample is technically the correct word for it, but just that, like, two-second loop of that synth sound going like... And it does sort of feel like you're, like, going in circles as you listen to this song, and that thing... stays consistent through the entire 5+ minutes of the song. I really like that one.
Good.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad. I like Melt.
Sure.
That was a single. It's a good song. Slow Dive, of course, was the other single. Yeah. And we all know who was listening to that one.
Didn't they say they did not name the band after
that's what I song? Thought, and then it turned out I was wrong.
I was about to say, that would have been quite the coincidence. If they
Well, they might have said it to fuck with people. They were very young when they got famous.
That's true.
They were really young.
They were, like, still in high school when the band started, right?
Yeah, they were. And then, like, yeah, they were, like, 18, 19. They were just babies. Just babies having babies.
How are you in an internationally successful band when you're 18 and not turn into the biggest prick in the universe?
But it seems like they didn't.
Yeah, they seem like humble, nice people from what I can tell.
Yeah.
God, so good for Slow Dive.
They're a great band, too. Mm. But we'll do them someday, of course.
I love Slow Dive. As much as I hate LCD Sound System, that's how much I love Slow Dive.
So there you go.
And then, you know, there's other stuff on here too.
Yeah, that's fine, I suppose. I like the cover.
Yeah, that is neat.
Yeah, I'm taking some influence from Gustav Klimt.
That fucking guy.
A lot of gold foil and shapes.
Klimt.
Yeah.
That's a fun name.
He was, like, Dutch or something. Austrian.
Oh, okay.
He looked like an idiot.
All right. Germany's little brother.
Austria. Yep.
Austria's cool.
I don't know. I've never been there.
Me neither, but a lot of shit came out of Austria.
Yeah.
Fucking Freud. He's Austrian, right?
Yes.
Okay. Fucking Mozart.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
There you go. Schwarzenegger. Governor Schwarzenegger.
Can you believe that happened?
Yes.
You know, my father, he said that he wished that that Schwarzenegger could be president.
I think a lot of people feel that way. He was actually, like, a fairly popular candidate in, like, the 2000s. Like, a lot of people were saying, like, they wanted him to run for president, but, you know, constitutionally he couldn't because of being foreign born.
Yeah, but you know, I thought these people were all about the sanctity of the Constitution.
Strict constructionalists.
And all of a sudden, oh well, I don't know.
Is there anything more goddamn stupid than being a strict constructionalist?
I don't think so. I think that's probably the dumbest thing you could be.
Yeah. Also, Obsession is a good song.
Yeah.
It takes a minimal approach with these stabbing guitars and church bells. And
I love a good church bell.
Yeah.
I do.
Very minimal drumming. Yeah. Cool song.
Nice stuff. Anyway, and then...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just about to say, that's about all I have to point out in this record.
Yeah, and then we got Hyena.
Hyena.
This one is notable for the involvement of Robert Smith.
Hey.
I know you're happy.
Mr. Cure.
Yep. As he is known.
Mr. Cure, could I get an autograph? It's my impression of me talking to Robert Smith.
Pretty good.
Mm, I thought so.
I love it.
I saw The Cure a few weeks ago.
Yeah. What'd you think?
Well, they sounded great. Definitely no complaints with the performance. Wasn't crazy about the set list. A little disappointed by the set list, but they just played a lot of shit I didn't care about, basically.
And did they play for like 3 hours?
Yeah. They do ridiculously long shows these
days.
That's
a bit much.
I was ready to go home by the time they were done. But I mean, if you're like a super, super big Cure fan, like I don't think you will be disappointed.
Yeah.
I thought I was a pretty big Cure fan, but I don't know. They went longer than I wanted them to. But anyway, Hyena.
Yeah.
This is sort of an interesting record because it very much downplays the guitars. Only like a couple of these songs have a strong, noticeable guitar part.
Yeah, well, this is the Gooch are left.
Okay, so Gooch is gone.
Yeah.
Gone Gooch.
Gone Gooch, directed by David Fincher.
Right. So that would go some way towards explaining it.
Yeah, but they did have Robert Smith, but maybe he...
Did he play on the whole album?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
But he also played keyboards, so maybe he was more on keyboards.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah, this is kind of their most like lush sounding album almost. Just very, very detailed production wise and very fixated on keyboard sounds and strings.
Yeah.
Much more so than guitars.
Which is interesting, but like anytime that there's not a lot of guitars in a band that previously was very guitar driven, I'm not happy.
I don't want to say that category. I'm trying to think of like good examples of this phenomenon.
Yeah.
But I know what's happened, but I can't think of any.
I mean, I guess Slow Dive a little bit.
With
Pygmalion, which is actually my favorite of their albums.
Huh.
But so that's a good example. But
even that.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not like
guitars on it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Right. I get what you're saying, though.
We could spend all day trying to think of examples, and that would make for a really boring episode.
Yeah.
I appreciate the song Swimming Horses, because I just like to think about horses doing things.
Dude's gonna fuck that swimming horse.
He does watch a horse bathe. In, like, a river.
That's all the evidence.
All you need.
Right. But right from the top, you get Dazzle, which sort of gives you an idea of the direction that this record is taking.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very lush sounding. Maybe even a little... Maybe friendlier isn't quite the right word, because it's still pretty dour sounding. But but just less oppressive, maybe? I don't know.
There's very few Susie and the Banshee songs that I would describe as oppressive.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying. It's a little nicer.
Right. And the whole thing, the whole album is like swamped in reverb. Like, it's a very echoey album.
It's a little
much more so than the others.
It's a little too much reverb.
Yeah.
You can really overuse reverb, guys, and I feel like this is an example.
Mm.
It's just dial it back just a little bit. Come on.
But like I said, much less guitar, much more synth and keyboard and strings. And, you know, to varying results. You do get Take Me Back, which I really love, which is mm-hmm. this organ-driven song with this funky, snapping drum beat that goes with it. That's a good example of Budgie's drumming is Take Me Back.
Yeah.
Which it just gives it like a funky little shuffle kind of the whole time.
Yeah.
You can sort of get down to it a little bit.
I mean, a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
It's not Flashlight.
Well, I'm not comparing them to Funkadelic. I'm just or was that Parliament?
That was Parliament.
Oh. Sorry, everyone.
It's okay. But you get another Beatles cover.
Yeah, well, wasn't on the original album, but...
It's on the U.S. version.
Oh, okay.
So
Dear Prudence, which is good.
I really like that a lot, but I just really love that song, so yeah. Anybody does it, I'm happy.
Is that one of your favorite Beatles songs?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you think the White Album is the best Beatles album?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I do, too. By a pretty wide margin, too, actually.
Yeah.
I think without a doubt, yeah.
I mean, that's the one, like, I still listen to that one. Like, every other Beatles album, I'm kind of like, I don't dislike.
But you're just, like, done with it.
Basically. I'm just done with it, but the White Album I still think is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just really like when bands do stuff like that.
The sprawling, this is everything we do kind of album.
Yeah, like Wowie Zowie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my favorite Pavement album. Stuff like that. It's just a real fun thing for me, I guess.
You know, I read the Wowie Zowie book recently.
And, yeah. Dude's a scumbag, right?
It definitely left a bad taste in my mouth, the way he, like, talked about his ex-girlfriend, like, just, like, telling everyone, like, about her mental illness and, like, how fucking crazy she was and, like...
No, but, dude,
cool.
Bro, the sex is so good, bro.
To be fair... You overemphasized that part of it.
I guess I think it just really pissed me off.
There was just like one mention of that. Like, yeah, we had really awesome sex.
It really pissed me off, I guess. interviews are good.
Yeah.
But, like, no one cares.
Well, it's just like, yeah, why would you... I mean, clearly this girl needs help. Like, why are you, like, cataloging... all the weird shit she did and like telling everyone the entire world about it. Like, that's not nice.
And like, why do you think anyone cares?
That also, I want to read about Pavement.
They're not picking up the book to read about you. Mm. I know John Darnielle wrote he wrote basically like a novel in his 33 1/3. But people give a shit what John Darnielle has to say. Because people love him. And rightfully so.
Well, I guess my thing is, like, I don't mind, like, some personal history with the album. Like,
yeah.
I don't mind that so much.
Because, like, you kind of can't avoid it because, like, music is so intertwined with our lives.
Right, right. And just, you know, like, a little bit about what the album means to you personally. Like, I enjoy that, actually. The Prince book about Sign of the Times, like... That guy grew up in Minneapolis, and, like, he remembers, like, how big a deal Prince was to that city, and, like, and that was cool. Like, I appreciated that, like, his personal connection, basically, to the artist, but, like, this guy is just like, yeah, when I was fucking my crazy ex-girlfriend, I was listening to Pavement a lot.
Like, yeah, and that's...
No one needs that.
Yeah. Like, you have to sort of have some self-awareness about what people are actually going to think is interesting and what not. Like, a personal connection to Minneapolis and talking about Prince's relationship to Minneapolis, that's interesting. Mm. Because it's interesting that he stayed there.
Yeah.
But just, like, fucking a girl a lot. No one cares.
Anyway. But yes, Hyena.
Yeah.
I don't know why they spelled it like that also.
Probably because they're British.
That's not how they spell that in British English, is it?
It might be. I don't know. God,
they're always doing weird shit like that.
They spell everything weird. They spell yogurt with an H in it.
Yeah. That's... What are you doing?
Come on.
I demand British people account for this. But anyway... Yeah, there's other good stuff on here.
I like "Bring Me the Head of the Preacher Man" a lot. I think that's a good song. It's got a good vocal. That's all I really have to say. All
right. Well, that's a dense sounding song too. Like that's a song where the reverb that the whole thing is swamped in, like, really kind of gives it an extra boost, a little extra power, I think.
Yeah,
because it sounds sort of ghostly and otherworldly, you know?
And it's like a little twangy,
mm-hmm.
too, which is interesting. it's just an interesting song, and it stands out.
Well, and you mentioned Swimming Horses too.
Yeah.
Which is this jaunty little piano ditty.
Sure.
I don't think it's that great of a song, but
I don't think it's a great song. I just think it's funny.
Right.
Because I think horses are funny animals.
Right.
So
they are funny, you're right.
I don't know why. Why they're like that.
Have you ever, like, fed a horse a sugar cube?
Yes.
It's funny, man.
Yeah, I rode horses when I was a little
kid. They got those big stupid mouths.
Yeah, and those big teeth.
They do have big teeth, and they're gross, too. They're all yellow and shit.
Well, they don't brush them. They should.
Horses need to start brushing, man. They're going to get tooth disease.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Gingivitis.
I had a cat that we had to pull three of his teeth out.
No.
Yeah, it sucked. Well, we didn't do it. We had it done.
Well, I figured as much.
Yeah. But it was...
I figured no one in your household was qualified to pull a cat's teeth.
Yeah, but it sucked. But he was getting sick.
Did you get him fake teeth?
No. He's fine. He doesn't need them.
All right.
We had a cat that had no teeth. It was fine.
How did he chew?
Well, they don't chew.
They don't?
Mm-mm.
Seems like my cat chews.
No, they don't actually chew.
Well, goddamn. That cat has been fooling me this entire time.
I know.
God, so. I hate cats.
That's what put you over the edge.
I thought I was.
Your cat has been pulling a fast one on you.
About chewing? Tricking me into thinking he chews?
God.
After we feed and water him and give him a home?
We water him?
Yeah, we water him.
Does he sit in a little flower pot?
Just pour it on his head.
Aw.
It's all right. He likes it.
Oh, that's so cute. It's the idea of that. But, so, Tinderbox.
Oh, are we done with Hyena?
I'm done with it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Tinderbox?
No,
Hyena. No, Tinderbox sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't really have much to say about Tinderbox.
It has some, like, interesting production work. Like, there's a lot of kind of, like, background samples of like voices and things like that, that it's kind of a wall of sound type thing that I think is interesting, but I don't think the songs are good enough to justify it. And that's kind of all I have to say.
Yeah, it just kind of went in one ear and out the other for me. Sorry to any Tinderbox fans out there, but I don't really feel like talking about it, to be
honest.
Isn't
there a 33 and a third coming out?
There is, about Peep Show, of all things.
Oh, okay.
Which is,
well, Peep Show had Peekaboo on it.
It did, yeah.
And Peekaboo is a great song, and I think was a big deal for a lot of people. So.
Yeah, but it's just sort of, it's not one of their better regarded albums, I don't think.
I don't know. Well, that's what's kind of fun about 33 and a third. It's that they kind of, their choices will go off the beaten path sometimes.
Sure. Like, you know, Wowie Zowie. I appreciate that they did that one over, you know, the more obvious choices.
Yeah, like Slanted and Enchanted. Or
Crooked Rain.
Yeah, because like, so much has been said about those records, you know?
And Wowie Zowie's kind of the dark horse favorite of Pavement fans. Like,
I think so.
A lot of, you know, hardcore Pavement fans will tell you. Like, that's the best one. You know, for a long time, I really, really loved Wowie Zowie, and I thought it was the best Pavement album. And I think for a while, I actually considered it, like, my favorite album, period. But
really?
But, I don't know. Like, these days, I would rather listen to Crooked Rain. Like, I just think it's better overall.
Crooked Rain is great.
But Grounded is the best Pavement song.
Yes.
I'll say that.
And I love Half a Canyon.
Yeah, Half a Canyon is wonderful. I can't believe I'm still going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's great stuff. So it's better than this album.
Yeah. Wowie Zowie is better than Tinderbox.
Yep. Suck on that.
Probably all of Susie's albums, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Which is the only kind of opinion I can have.
Right.
So, I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, kind of a redundancy, right? Personal opinion.
It is.
I guess, but you could be talking about the opinion of someone else.
Yeah, you could talk about popular opinion.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, so.
Right. I guess if you're saying in my opinion, to say my personal opinion, that's a redundancy.
I guess. But whatever.
So, you know, you should probably just stop talking in general.
Okay.
Speaking of which, I guess we're done.
Yeah.
Susie and the Banshees, good band.
Good band. Definitely listen to Kaleidoscope and Juju.
Yes, those are the biggies.
If you like those, you should check out their other stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll like it, and maybe you won't, but it won't be time wasted.
It won't be time wasted, in my personal opinion.
Right.
So next week, as we said, we are doing Elliott Smith. Because of the recommendation of
Human Peen. God bless him.
Human Peen came to save the day.
Here I come to save the day.
With his Elliott Smith recommendation. And that will be our last episode for this month.
Yep.
I'm actually a little sad.
Yeah.
This was fun, even though I hated it.
Yeah. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, lots of people suggested artists that I am very familiar with and enjoy to great degrees, and none of them were selected.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Elliott Smith. Elliott Smith is definitely the artist I am most familiar with out of the ones we're going to cover this month. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But even with 7 people suggesting the Talking Heads,
we never got there.
Didn't get picked.
But we'll get there someday.
Yeah. I think Talking Heads is coming soon. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Because, like, why haven't we done them yet?
I know.
It's just weird.
Believe me, I know.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, until next week, this has been Our Podcast Could Be Your Life. Thank you for listening.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
From the cradle bars comes a beckoning voice that sends you spinning. You have no choice.